From Fort Worth, Texas, the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry is on the air. Our website, which has email and contact information along with past sermons, is www.jesuschristsaid.com. Now, with today's message about the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, here's evangelist David Perkins.
Thank you, George Thomas. We have a brand new announcer, George Thomas of Brazoria, Texas. Thank you, George. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, verse 46, Jesus Christ said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The words of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of Good News of Matthew, the 27th chapter. Please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words that I say be what you would have me say. May the true seekers of God's holy love see the true cross, the true empty cross, empty of death. Through Jesus Christ's precious name we pray. Amen. Welcome once again to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministries. It's so good to be with all of you, especially those of you who cannot, for whatever reason, get out to go to church. This is your weekly radio church, your weekly worship service. Welcome to all. In the name of Jesus Christ, welcome. Our website, which has the email address, our beliefs, news about our nursing home ministry, and contact information along with past sermons, both in text and audio, and it is www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is Palm Sunday. Good Friday, of course, will be this coming Friday, and next Sunday will be Easter Sunday. Easter is the time when we Christians stop to reflect on God's decision to end his earthly days, his human life with death on the cross and the resurrection 3 days later. Our decision to let the Holy Spirit into our hearts makes it so that our belief in God and God's love and our eternal life in heaven is complete. This is a joyful time for all of us. Christ giving up his life, not having it taken by the authorities, but voluntarily giving up his life on the cross for you and for me, and then his resurrection 3 days later signals the final defeat of death for us. His decision to die on the cross and leave that cross empty, and our decision to fill our lives with the love of Jesus Christ and to follow him, leads to, as Jesus Christ said, life eternal. Today's Bible reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, the 23rd chapter, beginning in verse 26. The Bible says, "And as they led him away, they seized one Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, and laid on him the cross to carry it behind Jesus. And there followed him a great multitude of the people and of women who were mourning and lamenting for him. But turning to them, Jesus said, 'Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming when they will say, Blessed are the barren and the wombs that never bore and the breasts that never nursed. Then they will begin to say to the mountains, Fall on us, and to the hills, cover us. For if they do these things when the wood is green, what will happen when it is dry?' Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they came to the place that is called the Skull, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, 'Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do.' And they cast lots to divide his garments, and the people stood by watching. But the ruler scoffed at him, saying, 'He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one.' The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, 'If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself.' There was also an inscription over him, 'This is the king of the Jews.' One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, 'Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us.' But the other rebuked him, saying, 'Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong.' And he said, 'Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.' And he said to him, 'Truly, I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise.' It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last. Now when the centurion saw what had taken place, he praised God, saying, "Certainly this man was innocent." And all the crowds that had assembled for this spectacle, when they saw what had taken place, returned home, beating their breasts. And all his acquaintances and the women who had followed him from Galilee stood at a distance, watching these things. That's our Bible reading for today from the New Testament, Luke, the 23rd chapter. May God's mercy be upon all of us, and his life shine in our hearts and in our souls. Here's a question for you. Did you know that the wise men who came from the Orient to see the baby Jesus were actually Texas firemen? Yes, they were. The Bible clearly says they came from afar. All right, you'd have to realize that many salt of the earth Texas Christians pronounce fire, far. Okay, settle down. Now, why did Jesus Christ say from the cross, as Matthew recorded in chapter 27, as he was about to die, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did he believe that God had indeed abandoned him, left him, forsaken him? That's ridiculous, of course, because God cannot abandon himself. God cannot abandon God. So God did not forsake or abandon Christ any more than God will forsake or abandon us. Christ was quoting the opening verse of the 22nd Psalm, because while the first verse does say, my God, why have you forsaken me? Beginning in verse 27, the entire psalm turns around and begins to tell of Christ, our Lord, coming and being saved from the cross, making the cross and the victory by the devil as empty as the soul without God. Here's the rest of the story, as they say, beginning in verse 27. All the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nation shall worship before you. For kingship belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth eat and worship. Before him shall bow all who go down to the dust, even the one who could not help himself and keep himself alive. Posterity shall serve him. It shall be told of the Lord to the coming generations. They shall come and proclaim his righteousness to the people yet unborn, that he has done it. That's from the 22nd Psalm, which Jesus Christ in all of his agony quoted from the cross. So you see, Jesus Christ in all of his agony, having gone through torture at the hands of the Roman soldiers and having hung on the cross, his hands and his feet nailed, and only the pain of the nails ripping into his bone and sinew, holding his body up while the guards foretold in this psalm gambled for his garment, Christ was dying for us so that he could be resurrected and we could then live forever with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ gave us three commandments by which to live. He didn't add to the ten, but gave us three core commandments. Love one another, love your neighbor as yourself, and love your enemies. In Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, Jesus Christ said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets." But in order to understand the reason for the empty cross, we must go back to the days of the full cradle, just after the child, Christ child, was born. In Luke chapter 2, verse 22, we first hear about a light for revelation to the Gentiles, to us, the Gentiles. Luke says, "And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ." And he came in the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And his father and his mother marveled at what was said about him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that is opposed, and a sword will pierce through your own soul also, so that thoughts from many hearts may be revealed. So Jesus Christ became a light for revelation to us, the Gentiles, here in America and all over the world. Have we listened to the commands Jesus Christ said for us to keep? Luke tells us in Acts chapter 13, verse 44, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with jealousy and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. Now that's from the book of Acts, chapter 13. You see, the week before, Paul and Barnabas had spoken to the synagogue there in Antioch, and the word had been rejected, just as Jesus Christ had been rejected that day on the cross. As the cross was emptied of the life of Jesus Christ, the world was filled with happiness over the defeat of Jesus on the cross. Death and the devil had been successful. The world had prevailed and Christ had lost. He was dead and the old world survived. The old world of jealousy and competition and power and money and corruption and sin had won the day. The new way of living, of loving one another and loving your neighbor as yourself and loving your enemies had lost, had been proven to be a false religion. And now with the death of Jesus Christ on the cross, the world would become sane again in its insanity. It would become known again and comfortable, even if it wasn't a perfect world. And then Luke continues to write in the book of Acts chapter 13, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, It was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourself unworthy of eternal life. Behold, we are turning to the Gentiles. For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. As many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. That's from Luke writing in the book of Acts chapter 13. And far into the future, John writing in the book of Revelations chapter 15 verse 4, the Bible says, Who will not fear, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. All nations will come and worship you, for your righteous acts have been revealed. All nations will come and worship you. Are we worshiping God here in America? Are we fearing and glorifying God's name? Or are we like the Pharisees and the scribes that Jesus was talking to in Matthew chapter 23, verse 27? Jesus Christ said, Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you are like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside look beautiful, but inside they are full of the bones of the dead and all kinds of filth. So you also on the outside look righteous to others, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Is America like one of those tombs, whitewashed on the outside, but dead and filthy on the inside? There's a story in the news media nowadays about Senator Barack Obama's preacher in Chicago saying, God damned America. The preacher, he's a good preacher because Jesus Christ said in John 13:34, I give you a new commandment that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples. If you have love for one another, so we have to love one another. He is a preacher. He is a good preacher. But what he should have said was, America has damned herself. We have damned ourselves by getting into office a leader who just the other day vetoed a bill that would have outlawed torture in the United States or anywhere in the world by United States personnel. But our president said, no, we need this kind of interrogation techniques to secure our freedoms and make our country strong, or words to that effect. Would we sell our national souls so the wealthy can ride in first-class comfort? Let me tell you that the leadership of this great nation of ours, the one we the people are responsible for putting into high office, that's our chosen leadership. Damning America and God is looking on and crying, and then crying out, you are damning yourselves. How anyone can back torture as a technique for anyone, anything, while our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ was tortured during this high holy week that we're now observing, how anyone can back torture is a blight on humanity and alerts God to the evil that is in America today. Now, no, we're not Sodom and we're not Gomorrah, because whoever is today's Lot, the one that searched for God for enough good people in Sodom and didn't find them, today in America, there are at least 100 or even 1,000 good people. And this is what keeps this nation alive. We've had warning after warning after warning, and we've turned our backs on God. We've gone to churches throughout this great land and worshiped the false god of wealth and worshiped the fine homes and the fancy cars and the jobs where we have power over others in the workplace. And we've invested trillions and dollars of dollars in our weaponry so we can frighten other nations into doing our bidding and giving us more oil so we can pollute God's green earth, and we call ourselves a God-fearing nation? We're not at all. We don't fear God. We fear our shadows that we're in our imagination believed to be terrorists. We fear another 9/11, and we spend billions on buying machines for our nation's airports to check for bombs, and time after time those machines have failed us. Those machines which made the company that made them and the lobbyists that lobbied for them and the people's representative that should have been our shepherds, those machines have made them wealthy beyond belief. We fear the wrong things, my brothers and sisters in Christ. We should fear God's wrath on this day of the empty cross. We should be searching our hearts and souls for why we won't follow the three commandments from Jesus Christ of love your neighbor as yourself and love one another and love your enemies. We tell ourselves and each other piously that we want the Ten Commandments put back into our schools and back into our courthouses and back into our state houses. And all the while, we turn our backs on the three commandments that Jesus Christ said for us to keep. Love your neighbor as yourself, love one another, and love your enemies. I just heard a report on NBC TV the other day about homeless children in America. It says that we have 1 million homeless children here in America. How about amidst all of our wealth, we find homes for the poor families of these children, and let's get the children back into school. Let me ask you, how on earth can we love our enemies while waterboarding them? For any reason, for any information the one being waterboarded would give us, how can we, in all honesty to ourselves, our families, and finally to Jesus Christ, say, yes, we have followed this commandment of yours. We're lying to ourselves, we're lying to each other, and we're lying to the world. We're as corrupt as that cat house in Washington, D.C. that Governor Spitzer went to, or the men's room in the Minneapolis-St. Paul airport where Senator Craig solicited sex from other men, or the movie makers where they prey upon vulnerable women and make degrading porno films and then put them on the internet for children to see. But add to that to the corruption of preachers who seduce their parishioners' wives, or worse yet, seduce their parishioners' pocketbooks for cash so they can live in lavish, very unchristian-like lifestyle, or prostitute themselves for some feel-good politician who couldn't care less about the soul of America. There is so much corruption around, it's a wonder God even allows the sun to shine on America. But God does. Why? Why? Because of the empty cross. That's why. Christ died on the cross for us, for today, for all time, for you, for me, for all of us sinners. Corrupt as we are here in America and all across the world, Christ died for us on that Roman cross over 2,000 years ago. But that cross, even though it had the devil's victory that day, was an empty victory, just as the cross at the end of the day was empty. Christ was dead and about to defeat the cross of death once and for all time for you and for me and for all of humanity. If only we see the empty cross for what it is, and then we look past the empty cross and we begin to see the empty tomb. Let us pray. O God, Father in heaven, from whom comes the light of all the universe, be the guiding beacon for our nation. Give us the courage to be generous as a nation. Give us the eyes to see those in need and to help them through any means we can, as a nation, as a church, as an individual. O God, maker of all heaven and earth, be our light, and let the love of Jesus Christ, from which all humanity flows, into our hearts. Give us the clarity of heart and soul to be good apostles following your Son, to be good citizens of this great nation that you and your generosity have given to us for safekeeping. We worship your goodness and your mercy and your generosity, and we fear your wrath. Give us the courage to follow the commandments of your loving Son, Jesus Christ, as he said for us to love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. Give us this strength to follow his truth, that love of God is stronger when giving of ourselves, both as citizens of a nation and stewards of a church. Give us the strength of character to be that light of Jesus Christ, that generosity of God on earth. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, this Palm Sunday is a great time for you to do that. It's time for you to get out of that evil world and sinful world. You can change that right now. You can have God help you hear the words of Jesus Christ right now and keep those three commandments. You can do that right now. No matter what is in your past, and it cannot be as bad as mine, you can become a follower of Jesus Christ right now here on the radio in the twinkling of an eye. You're already a born-again Christian and have gone back to sinful ways, to barring from the church house doors those that may need God the most, to seeking power of this world and all of its false wealth. If your light for Jesus Christ has gone out, you ask for forgiveness right now. Pray with me right now. Very simple little prayer. Doesn't have to be exactly like this, but just pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, please give me the courage to live the life Jesus Christ has for me by learning to love those around me. Save me from being lost and being dead in my soul. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. You never, ever will be the same again. Your life just changed. I'd like to salute all you men and women on the way to Iraq or Afghanistan or just returning home, perhaps someday soon in this year of 2008, as we Christians all over the world unite in the cause of the Prince of Peace, we can have all those fighting and wars go home safely. Now, this coming Wednesday, March the 19th, is the fifth anniversary of our invasion of Iraq as a country that, while it did have a dictator, that was no threat to America. It had no weapons of mass destruction. It had no link to Al-Qaeda and was not connected in any manner to 9/11. I'd like to salute all of our men and women and their families who answer the call to duty to keep our nation free and to worship God as we choose and to see that empty cross, the final defeat of the devil's death. Good luck to you all and Godspeed to you all. If you have a favorite religious song you'd like me to close the program with, please let me know. Today's song is a favorite of many of us. This is an old African spiritual song made popular and modern by Johnny Cash and the Carter family. I thought it first had been written by Johnny Cash, but found out only recently that the song had been around to heal the wounds of the slaves for many centuries. Here's Johnny Cash and the Carter family, and "Were You There When They Crucified My Lord?"
Were you there when they crucified my Lord? Oh, were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Oh, sometimes it causes me
Johnny Cash, powerful. We're all slaves to sin. We all were there when they crucified Christ on the cross. We didn't make the cross empty. God did. God emptied the cross of all bitterness and hatred and competition and national pride and war and torture and corruption at the top of society and ignorant thoughtlessness at the bottom. God replaced the empty cross with love one another and love your neighbor as yourself and love your enemies. When we see the empty cross, we know the victory of God's love over death, if only we believe. Please come back next time. We're here on the radio. If you'd like me to come to your church and preach what Jesus Christ said, please contact me at my website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. Pray with me one more time. Heavenly Father, keep us all safe until we meet again. Keep watch over us and keep our hearts full of Jesus Christ's love. In His name I pray. Amen. Until next time, this is David Perkins saying, so long, I'll see you in church, and be sure to love one another. That's what Jesus Christ said.
From Fort Worth, Texas, you've been listening to the Jesus Christ Said radio ministry. If you'd like to hear past sermons, please go to our website, www.jesuschristsaid.com. This is George Thomas saying, thank you for listening, and God bless you.